This week on the Auto Trader Podcast.
Where it all started with those old Nokia hands-free kits and all of that. And you had to install the microphone up here by your sunvisor. Hey,
my car still got one of those in it.
Listen, I was the coolest. I had the little earpiece.
Hello and welcome to another Auto Trader Podcast. And I'm joined by...
Anne Alberter.
And...
Lawrence Minnie. Welcome, Anne.
Nice to be here.
So finally, we don't have you on the big screen. We've got you in person, in studio. What do you think about our weather?
It's horrendous. I'm taking back to the rain. Who likes sunshine?
100%.
So, guys, today we are going to be talking a little bit about car tech. So we're going to be delving into some of what our favorite car tech pieces are. But first, I want to ask each and individual one of you, what car did you drive recently that, like, really impressed in terms of a car tech within the theme, so to speak?
Ladies first.
Okay, well, I think I had quite a few electric cars. Back to back, I had a Volvo XC40, the fast one, the twin motor Ultimate, and I had a plug-in hybrid Evoque, Range Rover Evoque. And this morning, on my way to the airport, I drove the new Volkswagen Tiguan.
Okay.
And it was actually fitted with something that I'm going to talk about briefly today.
Okay.
That really helped me a lot.
Okay, nice. And you, Lawrence, what techie car did you drive recently?
Well, I haven't really driven that many cars. I've been wallowing on the motorcycle side of things. So motorcycles got plenty of tech on them. But to your question, I think probably one of the most tech-advanced cars in a medium price gap was the Jayco J7. I was solidly impressed and somewhat annoyed by the tech that features in the car. But yeah, more on that later.
Yeah, I literally just jumped out of our test vehicle of the Jayco J7. Mm. And I concur with you. Some lovely bits and then some little bit more annoying bits, but it's mostly good. It's actually there to keep you safe. So, but like you said, a little bit more on that later. What we're trying to get to today is some of our favorite car tech that sort of jumped into the industry over the last decade or so. So it can be quite wide and various, but I think we're going to jump in and just sort of discuss what is our favorite ones, standout ones, that the public need to know about. Lawrence.
Okay, yeah. So I'm going to go low-hanging fruit. Apple CarPlay. This revolutionized in-car, communication with your cell phone. You know, in the past, it was just Bluetooth.
Yeah.
Now you were able to actually plug your cell phone into the car and mirror your cell phone on the car's infotainment screen. Yes. This opened up your music, messaging, maps. The list goes on. There has been so much that that system has done for in-car communication, and we live on our cell phones.
Yeah.
And a lot of people can't separate themselves from their cell phone. So when you get into your car, being able to make the car an extension of your cell phone is fantastic. I have just finished writing an article now about the next gen of Apple CarPlay that's coming out. They've released the software to the auto developers.
Okay.
So that auto developers can now start integrating the next generation of Apple CarPlay into their car systems, which basically what it boils down to is there are more screens in the car, so there's more place for them to put stuff.
Okay.
They're literally going to be able to – you're going to be able to customize your gauges, your home screen, and it basically just makes the car an even further extension of your cell phone. You don't have any idea how many manufacturers have got apps for their cars.
Yeah,
you've got Ford Pass Connect. You've got Mercedes-Benz. These guys have all got apps on that you load on your phone. And then when the car realizes, okay, you plug the phone in, it recognizes the app and boom. And then you even more connectivity than just your standard wireless or tethered connection. I love Apple CarPlay. I think it's done amazing things.
Yeah. No, like, and if you think about it, sort of historically, where it all started with those old Nokia hands-free kits and all of that, and you had to install the microphone up here by your sun visor. Hey,
my car still got one of those in it.
Listen, I was the coolest. I had the little earpiece.
Did you have mirrored sunglasses as well? Eh?
I was about to say.
No, I'm from Cape Town, remember? We're too cool for that.
Oh, no, it would be mirrored sunglasses with an earpiece in Cape Town on the end too, and you were born.
Yeah, I actually know somebody that still has the Bluetooth earpiece today. Also in the motoring industry, but I won't go any further than that. So, yeah, I mean, Apple CarPlay, definitely very cool. I know, like, what's weird is, like, Android also has a similar thing, which is obviously Android Auto. Mm-hmm. So, also app mirroring and all of that. But I think what's funny or interesting to me is, like, some of the premium manufacturers first adopted Apple CarPlay before they even considered Android. Mm-hmm. Like Ferrari, for instance, one of the most premium manufacturers out there, they were like Apple all the way. And then I think it's like only after, like, from the California T and so onwards, that's only when Android Auto started coming into the game. So it's
look, what does that say about the clientele?
I'm saying, like,
listen, having used both of them, I prefer Apple CarPlay. It just seems a little bit more user-friendly, streamlined, more colorful, more bouncy, where Android is just plug your phone in and that's it. It's just like a tethered or wireless Bluetooth connection. It doesn't just have that vibe.
Yeah. Well,
but let's just call it, you know, plugging your phone, making your car an extension of your phone.
100%. And Anay, your first.
Okay, so this morning when I left home, it was dark, and in Cape Town, the sun only rises at like 11 o'clock in the morning. Anyway, so the Tiggo that I'm driving at the moment, it has those IQ Matrix LED headlamps.
Ooh, I like those.
And they are brilliant because, first of all, I have astigmatism, so that means I don't get enough light into my retinas. So night driving for me can be a real headache. And if I didn't have those lights fitted, I would have had to take a shuttle. So what makes this special is that you can actually put your brights on, high beam full on, okay, and you're not going to dazzle a single person on the road because it illuminates what's going on around at the side of the road as well.
Yeah.
So if there's oncoming traffic approaching, it immediately dims some of those little LED lights. It disables some of them. So you're never going to dazzle any drivers. And you can basically see them, but you're not blinding them.
That's very cool. That's very cool.
Yeah. So that really makes a huge difference to my life. And I experienced it for the first time in the Mercedes-Benz S and E class like many years ago. I mean,
they were the precursors of all tech. Yeah.
Already, but and it's like filtering down for many years. It's now available everywhere, and in the Tiggo, it's a 16,400 rand option, and I would pay that with a smile.
And then in the Ford, it's standard fare. I first experienced it in the Ford Everest Platinum. It creates a black hole in the light, so you basically light up the road, and as soon as it detects light coming from the front, it creates a black hole where that light is.
Yeah. Shuts it off.
Yeah, it just shuts off the light in that little area, but it still keeps everything else illuminated super bright. So it's not like your old flicking between your dims and high beams. It's just bright all the time. But yes, for the older generation whose eyesight might not be so great anymore, like myself, I agree. IQ, the IntelliLux, every manufacturer calls it something else.
Yeah, I'm speak under correction here, but I think it all started in Le Mans, the 24-hour of Le Mans.
Yes, yes.
And I believe it was the Audi cars that very much first had that technology, that matrix headlights.
So that they wouldn't blind the driver in front of them when they came tearing past in the dark.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's brilliant.
Wonderful technology, and it's really practical for everyday use.
Definitely. And considering you're just going to add it to your overall price of the car.
Yeah, that Tiggo is over 400,000 already. But anyway.
Ouch.
Yeah. So, and the other thing that I really like is, of course, we've already discussed adaptive cruise control, but the fact that let's talk Volvo, for example, the large animal detection, that's also been around since about 2012. So what Volvo did was they actually looked at the way that specific animals moved. So all of your Swedish animals.
Okay.
It's a mongoose.
And deer and everything in between. And they actually looked at how they move. And if you're driving at a certain speed, it will pick up the animal. And depending on how big it is, it will adapt your speed.
Okay.
So it can actually differentiate between the different animals and sizes.
That's pretty interesting. But that's now also that comes into one of my favorite car techs, and that is night vision.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. I remember seeing this like 10, 15 years ago in an S-Class. It was like infrared on the screen.
Very cool.
It was very James Bond at the time. Everybody was like, ooh. Now we're like, I got that on my phone.
Yeah, but still, like even like most recently, I think it was an Audi that I drove that had a tech built in.
Yeah.
And I would literally go out and drive at night just to play with that tech. And how it ties in with Anae's tech is that the Audi systems will also illuminate living objects, whether it's a person or dog or, you know, anything that's living next to a road and moving around, it will sort of block it, a yellow block to draw your attention to it. And then obviously you can adapt your driving to that and sort of, so it doesn't quite slow down automatically like the Volvo systems, but it at least lets you know that it's there. But it's super James Bondy and it's like super fun to do.
So all of these things, they actually form part of ADAS, which is Advanced Driver Assistance Systems. Most of your new cars have got them in it. Now, one of my favorite features is the semi-autonomous driving. So it makes use of the adaptive cruise control, the radar, the LiDAR, the traffic sign detection. It uses all of those things and lets the car sort of drive itself.
That's wonderful.
Now, I have done this, and I think the first car that I did was a Volvo.
Yeah.
I drove from the East Rand in Benoni all the way to Pretoria without touching a thing. The car drove itself the whole way. All you had to do is every 30 seconds or something, put your finger on the steering wheel. So it picks up that there's human presence in the car.
Yeah.
But to drive let a car drive you is, number one, it's very unsettling.
Yeah.
But it also gives you a very, very quick insight into what the future of motoring could be.
Yeah.
Well, the technology is already there. It's just our legislation in South Africa. We're not allowed to drive fully autonomous cars.
And not just South Africa. I know there's
pretty much everywhere in the world. I think it's only California and some states in America where they're actually doing advanced testing on systems like that where the cars are allowed to drive. I mean, you've seen some of these videos of those idiots getting into Tesla's passenger seat and letting the car drive them somewhere. We're not there yet, people, but we're getting there. And the fact that we have that technology built into Audis, BMWs, Mercedes, Volvos, these cars can all do it already.
Yeah.
But it still requires a human element. It's not going to let you completely scot-free.
Yeah, no, at least not. But bringing that back, like the first time I've driven it or had sort of my first exposure to that autonomous driving was the GT63, Mercedes-AMG GT63. And I remember like when you turn on the indicator and if there's nothing in your blind spot, the car will
move on its own
to the next lane and, you know, carry on. But obviously it was a very early system and those test cars are literally test cars. They like Mercedes are learning as much from it as we do as journalists.
Our feedback is advancing things. Yeah.
I remember we were driving on the highway and it was all in this setting and it detected one of our e-tolls and the car thought it's an actual toll gate. So
it slammed on the brakes.
And I can just remember, I'm just like, please don't somebody crash into the back of me. But obviously, very quickly and easily, you can override it with your throttle. As soon as you touch the brake, all of the systems deactivate in any case. So I mean, it wasn't too scary, but I remember those early renditions. Now it's come such a long way.
And talking about adaptive cruise control and that whole ADAS system, it really does change your entire driving style.
Yeah.
Because when you're not sort of in charge as much as you used to be, you actually don't mind driving a little bit more slowly because you want to see what the car's going to do. It's recognizing the lanes. You want to see what's going to happen when that guy stops. You want to allow it to stop. I mean, it's just completely different. And you get to your destination and you actually feel refreshed. You don't have road rage. It's just a whole different way of using the road.
I remember being on a launch down in Cape Town, and the part of the launch route was the section of the N2 that runs past Somerset West Strand. And it was a Thursday afternoon at about 3 o'clock, and we were testing these systems in the stop-go traffic in Somerset West. It was, I'm sitting with it, but my foot hovering over the brake pedal, just hoping that something doesn't go wrong. But the car didn't disappoint. And it's, I think that's probably, like I said, one of those really cool pieces of tech that sort of resonates with me is we are in the middle of the advancement of the technology.
Yes, yes.
We've come so far from where it used to be, and we can sort of see where it's going, and we're just along for the ride.
Yeah.
Figuratively speaking, yeah, of course. Yeah.
No, 100%. But I mean, like, to come back a little bit to the traffic recognition and everything, what's cool about it is if you sit on with the modern digital instrument clusters, it will actually display the speed for you. So even if you're in between, it will obviously indicate what the last speed sector or the sign was telling you. And so, yeah, that brings me to another feature that I thought was revolutionary in terms of the car world, and that was the digital instrument cluster. Because I think, you know, in terms of like traditional cars, you had your physical, like this is your oil pressure, this is your water pressure or temperature.
Tech needles.
Yes.
Things all of that physically moved.
Physically moved, etc. But also
those days,
you were so limited to just that.
Mm.
Whereas these days you can pull up your tire pressures. You can pull up pretty much anything that's going on with your car. And I think that's pretty helpful. I love to be on sort of the economy screen.
Yeah, me too.
Because I love to see what my
play the game
inputs, what my throttle inputs is.
How much you can save.
Exactly.
I want that high score.
And that's what's what makes that whole, going back to the Apple CarPlay thing, what makes this new generation, you're going to be able to customize your digital dashes from your phone. So I'm like I said, I can't wait.
And then for me also, a lot of a car that I drove recently, that X2 M35i. So obviously you've got your different drive modes, but now if you change that, obviously your digital instrument cluster changes accordingly in order the way it's visualized. Mm-hmm. So if you're in sport mode, everything goes sort of red and aggressive and it shows you your revs and, you know, that type of thing. Whereas in comfort, everything is your more traditional.
Grays and blues.
Yes, grays and blues. But what's very interesting and what that BMW also had was head-up display.
Oh, yeah.
So, oh, yes.
Yeah. So in the dashboard, there's a little gap or hole for the viewers and listeners out there. And inside there, there's like a little projector that projects your speed and all of those things onto your windscreen. That means that you don't necessarily have to look down at your instrument cluster. You can just keep your eyes on the road. Ever so slightly bring your eyes down if you want to see what speed you're doing.
Yeah, it sort of floats in your vision on the road.
Yeah.
The only problem with that system is if you have polarized sunglasses,
oh, yeah.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
But it's still cool.
Still very cool.
It's very sci-fi.
Very, very sci-fi.
Floating numbers.
And also, just getting back to the lights quickly, I know that in the Mercedes-Benz models, especially overseas, the light that is displayed, it actually can throw a picture onto the road ahead. Like if you see somebody wanting to cross the road, it'll actually throw a zebra crossing.
Okay.
A virtual light zebra crossing in front.
Now
so
I want to see
cross
that.
Safely.
So like augmented reality,
yes, exactly.
Built into
augmented
a physical
reality.
Yeah, that's an entire another conversation, augmented reality.
Yeah.
We could spend 3 hours talking about what they're trying to incorporate into cars in terms of the safety.
Yeah.
You know, now to get onto the JKJ7, it's the safety systems.
Yeah.
We have got safety systems on board cars now that we would never have imagined having 10 years ago.
Yes.
The annoying thing in the JCO 7, I want to address it, is this little camera that sits on the steering column. It looks up through the steering wheel at your face. And basically what it does is it tracks your eye movements and your head movements and stuff, and it will alert you if it thinks you're too tired or if you're distracted. The problem is, though, it's still in the development stage. They have included it because it does add towards the 5-star rating.
Cap, yeah.
But if you're wearing sunglasses, it doesn't work. It keeps telling you, bing, bing, you're a distracted driver. Or if you're having a conversation with the passenger next to you and you turn your head, it can't see your eyes anymore. So it, bing, bing.
You're not allowed to do that. You'd have to look at the road ahead and just talk.
Yeah, but that was my thing.
I don't think I want to do that, Anne.
You know what? I just think it's too close for comfort. I actually feel a little bit uncomfortable by that whole idea of these cameras staring at my retinas and my pupils.
Well, I mean, back in the day, like the previous Gen S classes, I mean, I always had like cameras that would monitor like 70 different sort of aspects about the person driving.
Oh, if you were slumped over to the side, but oh, you're having a heart attack, stop the car.
Yeah, like really, it's very impressive. But that's the thing, it's like I drove that JQJ7 now for the last week, and all of the safety systems is absolutely incredible. Like the amount of tech that they've built into that car is phenomenal.
And at the price.
At that price,
I think it just blows my mind.
Great. But it's like the way I can opt to use my adaptive cruise control and then switch it off when I don't want to use it.
Yeah.
I feel as though all the features need to have
an off button.
Switch. So yes, is it more risky for me to not have that system looking at me and watching my movements?
Yeah.
Certainly. But if I am willing to take that risk, if I'm signing the indemnity, so to speak,
it should be your choice.
I should be able to switch it off. Yeah.
So I would like to throw a question out to our audience. Buttons or no buttons?
Oh, yeah.
When you get into a car, do you want digital touchscreens everywhere or do you want physical buttons that touch and make a noise when you click them?
It really depends on the model, though.
Yeah.
In some cars that are very, very minimalistic, and I'm going to say Volvo because it just works like a charm. Yeah. You don't need a single button. That system is just so intuitive. But in another car I drove recently, which was also very minimalistic.
Give me buttons.
It was a Schlepp.
Yeah.
I was so annoyed by the time I gave that car back. I won't name names.
No, so I want to hear what our audience has to say. I really do. I want buttons or no buttons.
So
tell us in the comments.
So for me, again, that buttons, no buttons thing. So if you look down at the center console, if you wanted to access your air conditioning and all of that, but you inside Apple CarPlay, is an actual physical button for that. But then Jaku built in that 360-degree camera system, which I find absolutely great. But sometimes when I pull into a parking, I want to activate it. But that means I have to go out of Android Auto to go and switch on that AVM 360-degree camera. So I feel as though there's still always space for a physical button, especially considering that most people are going to be using Android Auto or Apple CarPlay within their cars. So I think then a physical button to shortcut is definitely helpful. And then for me personally, also sporty cars. So I want to have make the exhaust louder button and
on the steering wheel.
Make the suspension softer, you know, that type
good
of
neighbor.
Even if they apply it the way Mercedes does with the little dials on the steering wheel, I think that's also pretty great. But there's still a very tactile feel to it.
Give me buttons. Give me. No, really. It is honestly, I would love to see a continuation of a hybrid system.
Yes.
Use the touchscreens by all means, but have buttons.
Couple of
physical buttons.
At least
buttons.
For the air conditioning.
Yes, yes. No, definitely. So, viewers, listeners, that was our favorite car tech. Please, in the comments, let us know what is your favorite tech and what you think was the most revolutionary over the last decade.
And buttons or no buttons.
And then also, please answer Lawrence's question, buttons or no buttons. And then keep an eye on our social channels. We've been running a social series called What the Friday, where we sort of explain all of these things in 60 seconds or less. And even on bike tech, I think Lawrence have just finished one on wheelie control or wheelie.
I did not put the bike on its back wheel, I promise.
But go and check it out. Maybe you did. We don't know yet. Anyway, please like and subscribe and let us know in the comments if there's anything you want us to talk about, and we'll gladly do research into that. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you, Anne, for coming all the way from Cape Town. We feel so honored. And thank you, Lawrence, for being here today.
Bye, Anne.
Bye, guys.
Search Auto Trader.